the triumphs and tragedies of, well, my favorite disease.
Well, we said from the beginning we want to have fun, but we don't want to make fun. So we joke around a little bit, but we never poke fun at the disease. We've had some great guests. Donna Swanson has been great. Everyone that has been part of our regular crew has been fantastic. We also have a website. If you're new to the show on our first anniversary, you can contact us 24/7 via the internet.
TheDiabeticShow.com. Also have a Facebook page. You can get there from here. Mm-hmm. And we've been getting some good and bad. I'm not going to say bad. It's not bad. People who think that we should do better. That's the way
we will do better. We're a work in progress.
Absolutely. And most of those emails are not thrown away. And so it shows that we care and we're serious about.
Because we have holiday dinners coming up, but we need things to pluck the turkey on.
Now, there's a nice slide transition into the show, Surviving the Holidays.
I'm not the turkey plucker. I'm the turkey plucker's mate. I'm only plucking turkeys because the turkey plucker's late. It's a tongue twister. I'll say that three times fast. Our engineer, Troy, just about put in his resignation on that one.
But you know, Troy, first off, we're so happy to have Troy through this year.
Yes.
Back from California. He came back, and I was the one.
Against his will, but he did come back. Yeah,
that's true. But he got to try In-N-Out Burger. In-N-Out Burger.
Yeah, it was fantastic.
It was really good.
It's worth the cholesterol.
It really was. And I was brought here against my will.
We're glad to have you back.
You're going to be a general manager someplace. Just don't forget the little people.
I won't.
Okay, thank you.
Your name again? I'm kidding.
Let's start with the good
funny.
Shut his mic off. Okay. 1.5 million Americans diagnosed with diabetes each year. We'll start with the stats. The sobering stats, all right? Break it down, thanks to the calculator, 3,836 new diabetics a day. Now, this is overall diabetics, much less type 1 diabetics, the ones I like to call the real diabetics.
Okay.
But as far as the type 2, which is very serious in itself, you break that 3,836 per day, 160 an hour during this 30 minutes, 81 new diabetics, just out of the blue, new. And we haven't even talked about pre-diabetes much because if you look at the numbers, who isn't?
That's running wilder than Hulkamania. It's amazing to me how that is.
They're talking about, 80, 90, 100 million pre-diabetics out there.
Well, for men, I don't know how it is for women, but men, if you cut yourself shaving and maple syrup comes out, go see your doctor.
Yes, if it tastes good, it's, you know, good and bad news, I suppose. As far as the type 1s, maybe I had it here somewhere. It's a significant number of type 1s out there. Obviously, nowhere close to the type 2 diabetics, but that's what makes it also special. Now, as far as insulin, let's go to the insulin news because I keep talking about this a lot. Diabetics, we're the 7th leading cause of death. Well, not us being diabetics. The disease, diabetes, 7th leading cause of death. And that becomes everything around the diabetes because
it's slow. It's like you taught me that, and so did our guests, that it's not a thing that you get it one day and 2 days later you're pushing up daisies.
No, it teases
slow
you.
Slow and painful.
Oh, for me, when I was first diagnosed, I'm thinking my blood sugar was 750. Well, that'll be okay later, right? And once I felt better, I stopped taking the insulin again, and for some reason it came right back.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. And it's like you said, it whittles you away from within, almost like an erosion of cardiovascular and nerves and all those good things like that. I'm trying to find the good news in here. Now, there is good news on the horizon. Isn't that where always the good news?
Sure.
Yeah, it always does.
After we're dead, there'll be plenty of good news.
Let's go with the insulin situation, because this is still something that it just hits. It hits me hard. It does. Everybody talks about the EpiPens. Remember those EpiPens?
Yeah.
They went from a couple hundred to 800 or 900 over a couple of years'
sure.
time. And the CEO said pretty much, too bad, so sad, if you want to paraphrase it.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of interesting little turn in that story, by the way, about the EpiPens. Now, every school has EpiPen in it. Because there really is no generic equivalent to an EpiPen, or at least that I know of. People have talked. It's almost like Xerox being a brand name that means something of what it does.
You don't think someone in North Korea is trying to make one up right now in a lab?
I'm hoping. And I'm very anti-North Korea. We've had this discussion.
But I'm just saying, some doctor somewhere is going to try to make a generic one so their country can get on the map.
Well, you know, what's the the leader of their baby Huey Ill come
King Jong Il.
Yeah, yeah, if he keeps eating the Swiss
Deng
cheese
Xiaoping,
and fried fritters like I'm sure he
Sing
does.
Wong.
Yeah, he's gonna be he's holding one of these diabetic cards. You know it.
Who flung poo?
So
I'm gonna keep going.
I'm trying to interrupt. Okay, so now we go to the insulin. We've talked about this so many times over the year. Frederick Banning and his student, Charlie Best, used pancreas from dogs. And they came up with insulin that would work with the hyperglycemic issues.
Now that would be easy to make fun of, but that's pretty ingenious.
When you think about it.
That's I'm very impressed.
And actually, if you read about the story, the universities were kind of like, okay, you go over here. Here's a couple $100. Good luck. Let us know when you find something. And they found something. And Banning and Best, they took their discovery. They sold the patent to the government of Canada, $1, so everybody can get the insulin.
Wow.
Let's fast forward almost 100 years. About 6 million Americans, we required the insulin to survive. And the rising cost making people to make hard decisions. Insulin prices have doubled in the last 6 years.
Not good.
Doubled. Some people are making decisions whether it's going to be food, gas, or insulin. Some people are, if you don't have the insurance, some of these horror stories I'm going over here. One vial of insulin for one listener, $800. It goes through 3 to 4 per month. And if his son does not take the insulin, he will die in a couple of days. And so, a
couple of days.
Well, you go hyperglycemic, and then you kind of go a bit ketoacidotic, and then you kind of slip into a coma, and then, you know.
Isn't there a law against this? I mean, if you go to the emergency room in the hospital, they have to take you.
Oh, sure. But that's only once you get to that point of hyperglycemia. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they'll give you a couple of shots and out the door. So the deal is we really do need to work on some of these prices, especially for insulin. A lot of these on diabetics are saying, well, we hear about the EpiPens. We haven't heard about the insulin as much. And a lot of people are using the insulin on a daily basis. So, basically it's a situation where some people think there should be some government intervention, kind of keep the prices down a little bit so people have, money for the frivolities of life, food. Big on food.
For my adult life, it's been food, clothing, shelter, pick two. So I've been making that choice as long as I can live.
Yeah, so that's the deal. Oh, I'm sorry, that's my doctor. Oh, that's okay. So anyway, two members of Congress did try to work something out with just this last month. Congressman Eli Cummings, Democrat from Maryland, and some guy, Bernie Sanders, some Democrat from Vermont. You heard that guy?
Colonel Sanders.
Yeah. Anyway, they're working into what Bernie's calling egregious behavior. And if only I had that New York accent. The way Bernie talks, he means it.
Egregious behavior.
Have you ever been sworn at by somebody at the East Coast? Who am I talking to?
Not a big fan of the East Coast.
Yeah.
I should sell it back to England.
When they swear at you in the East Coast, those words stick.
Mm-hmm. There's no letter R east of Ohio.
Yeah, and certain other categories. Wow. You know, every time a bell rings, an angel gets its wings.
Time for your medicine. Let's take a break.
Okay, we'll do that right here. We'll come back. We'll talk a little bit more about the insulin, and then we'll talk about surviving the holiday meal. This is The Diabetic Show. We'll be right back. Welcome back to The Diabetic Show. Mark Philwitt, Type 1.
Toby Maxwell, Type 2, celebrating our one-year anniversary on the radio.
And thanks a lot for listening.
We're wearing party hats here in the studio. Yeah. Feel free to do the same at home or in the car.
It's not an easy show to listen to.
It is not.
I mean, a lot of terminology. People get turned on some of the curbs. And, you and I...
Thank God we have a qualified guest to bail us out every week.
That's true. And this way, she was the all-star for this last year. Mm-hmm. You did get most valuable... You did. Donna Swanson from United Hospital System. Thanks for joining the round table.
Thanks for having me.
All right. At the break, we were talking about insulin prices. Let me finish up with this. But at least there are generic alternatives to this EpiPen and insulin.
Yes, people can, if they need to, talk to their doctor about the EpiPen. They can't afford it. It can be drawn up. Epinephrine can be supplied in a vial, and a doctor can prescribe vial and syringe. They need to talk to their doctor about that option. And then for insulin, patients can, if they are getting an $800 copay or whatever, they're in the donut hole or one of these scenarios where they haven't met their deductible, they can go to Walmart and get the Relion brand of regular and NPH. They need to talk to the doctor about that as well. But that is an alternative, even if a patient has no insurance. It's about $40 a vial.
Excellent. The problem with the insulin issues and the prices, well, first off, there are three providers. You know, I've got them here somewhere, Novolog, Lilly, and Sanofi. I mispronounce all of them, I'm sure. Uh-huh. But there's only three major producers. And now apparently there's going to be a fourth maker. I don't know if it's really a maker. It's kind of a generic. I know I had. Oh, here it is. It's called. It's going to be this next month. You could have the option of buying Basaglar. Basaglar? Yeah. No. See, everybody give me that look.
How about Bob's insulin?
Bob's is easy. It's easy to market. Easy to brand. It's Bob. Mm-hmm. Who wouldn't want his insulin? Anyway, Basaglar. Finally available. It's what the industry is calling a biosimilar drug, not a generic, biosimilar. And for you and I, Dobie, the difference between a biosimilar and a generic, generics are usually 80% savings off of the name brand drug. Mm-hmm. Biosimilars, you're only going to be saving 15% for the Basaglar. So,
okay.
So you got that going for you. But again, it's a situation where a lot of people are making the choices of insulin or necessities. Lots of choices, at least help anyway. We have it on the website. I get there, thediabeticshow.com. We have some places for you to go that will save you some money. And we're talking about discount cards. I could read them all off here, but get to the website or just type in your Google. Insulin discounts, coupons. Your doctor may perhaps have some coupons for you. If you're lucky enough to go to an endocrinologist, they might have some directions for you to go to get lesser priced. And actually, Donna, what were you saying during the break?
Well, you know, I just wanted to comment real quick on the Basaglar. I believe that is an Eli Lilly product that's coming out. And I was told by the rep for Eli Lilly that it will not be a generic, but it's basically the same as Lantus.
So that's where the word biosimilar is coming in?
But like I say, I just learned about this recently. I'm not fully trained on it, so I'm real hesitant. But I would have people Google Basaglar for more information or talk to their doctor because the information is still forthcoming on that drug. But I was told and informed by their rep that that is not a generic. So I don't think there's going to be a significant cost savings there.
Yeah, like I'm reading 15%.
Dumb question. Yeah. It would take years to get a drug approved, would it not? If you're making bathtub drugs in your house, gin, the FDA will take you with.
Well, that drug has been around. I mean, if it's the exact same as Lantus, or I don't know that it's exactly the same, but it's very similar. It's not going to have to go through all of the same testing. Mm-hmm. My understanding is it won't have to go through all of the same as a brand new drug to the market.
Okay,
but it still requires that FDA approval and all that, but the path is a little bit quicker.
Mm-hmm. Now, going on 30 years ago, my first insulins, I'm sure it was Lilly, and I remember on the vials, one was an R and one was an N.
Yes.
Okay. So, and if I remember, the R was a fast-acting, but it's not fast-acting like the stuff that's fast-acting today.
Right.
The stuff that I take today, Humulin, it's literally 15 minutes before it starts.
Well, you're thinking of Humalog.
Oh, Humalog. Yeah, sorry.
So the Humulin would be a short-acting insulin.
Exactly, and very short, starting 15 minutes after you take it.
No, but no.
You lost me.
Okay, so let's clarify this.
Please do.
The logs, Humalog, Novolog, are considered rapid-acting insulins. The lins are short-acting, so that's your regular insulin.
Okay, so
Novolin, Novolog.
It's all about this.
I'm sorry, Novolin and... no, doggone it. Novalin and Humulin are the regular insulins.
It's the suffixes and not the prefixes.
Yes.
You're talking to a D student here.
And those have like an onset of about 30 to 60 minutes versus the logs that you're thinking of are like 15.
Lordy.
Yes.
These
names are just too darn close.
They really are. Yeah.
That would have been a good job naming.
Like
naming.
Who's on first?
Just naming things. I thought, well, I missed my opportunity.
Sounds too clinical to me.
Let's talk.
Bob's insulin, I'm telling you. Very easy.
Number one drinking night of the year. What is it, Dobby?
I would say either St. Patrick's night or New Year's Eve. That would be my guess.
Thanksgiving Eve. Yeah, Thanksgiving Eve.
Because Aunt Fanny's coming over with that damn coleslaw with the green olives in it, then you just got to be numb.
Ooh, anything with rhubarb in it does require something like
not
that.
Not good.
No. Yeah. In
Jello with celery, that's bad too.
Let's continue on. The average American on Thanksgiving scarfs down 4,500 calories, 229 grams of fat.
And a Diet Coke.
Wash it down with a Diet
Coke. They always do. It's amazing how that is. Three pieces of pie and coffee. No, hold the sugar. Okay.
Now you tie this into a study that has found heavy meals triggering heart attacks. This is a study conducted at the Mayo Clinic. Found overeating.
Coincidentally, the Mayo Clinic.
See, you do complete me. Quadruples a person's risk of heart attack if you really stuff your face up to 2 hours after the meal. Just something to think about with the sweet potatoes. And
wait, say again? So you eat the meal and then you
pile it on. Let's just say you're gone. You're going on it. You got that big heaping plate, you know, and you make that little gravy boat in mashed potatoes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then you put the gravy on top of it. Yeah. The idea is four times the chance of a heart attack for up to 2 hours. So maybe if you're lucky and you get that tryptophan to kick in, you'll sleep right through it.
No, you sit in front of the football game, and then the team you don't expect scores a touchdown. Your heart pops like a water balloon.
See, and all this time you're thinking it's the cold duck. But no, it's actually the heart attack from the food. Now, you were talking this week, especially, well, we're recording this before Thanksgiving, but we're right in the swing of things. What have you been talking to your clients about when it comes to Thanksgivings and holiday meals? Ways to kind of put this down to only three times the risk of a heart attack?
Right. It's Thanksgiving is always a tricky one, but it can be made very simple. One of the things that I recommend patients do is eat your veggies first. Start to get full with that. Prepare Thanksgiving dinner so it's ready early in the day.
Why is that?
I'll tell you why. Because most people, we don't want people to feel deprived. If you feel deprived, then people tend to fail at their weight loss efforts or their dietary efforts. So we want people to be able to have what they have, what they desire to have. But we have to be responsible, too, about what we eat. So if somebody, say, like myself, I'm 5'4", I ideally need around 30 to 45 grams of carb per meal. Now, a big man like yourself, 6 foot plus, is probably going to require 45 to 60, somewhere
good.
Around there.
That's good.
So what I recommend people do is have, knowing that half a cup of potatoes, half a cup of stuffing, half a cup of whatever starchy vegetable we're going to have at Thanksgiving, is going to be about 15 to 20 grams of carb. I recommend.
I've seen your face, Toby.
That's just the potatoes and the stuffing.
I'm gone before I even start. I'm going
to
move to Canada.
All of that stuff. So what you can do is, if you have Thanksgiving dinner ready by noon, now you've got lunch, so you can have your potatoes, your stuffing, but watch the portions on it. Now, if you want to have a slice of pie, you carb count that as well. Have your slice of pie, but plan it out. Do that at dinner so you're not getting it all in one setting. So that way, if you put a little forethought into it and think, okay, this is what I'm going to have at lunch, this is what I'm going to have at dinner, I can have whatever I want, but I'm not going to eat it all in one setting. That's the key to surviving holidays. If you want to have a dessert, have a dessert, but watch your portion and plan it. Incorporate it into that meal.
Have your pie on April 6th.
Smarty pants.
No, but thank you, because seriously, it's very easy to just go nuts.
Oh, it is.
The food comes out, and I think nobody thinks about that. So if you think about it, I think we could do better than than we imagine.
And even if somebody ends up exceeding their carb allowance a little bit on that particular day, the key is you don't want to double it, triple it. You know, if I get 45 grams, so I do 60. Is it the end of the world one day out of the year? Probably not, mm-hmm. You know.
See, that's the, key.
Yeah, moderation and not doing anything in excess on those days.
The reason.
And going for a walk before. Well, that's huge.
I'm just looking at this because they have strategies for the not overeating portion. Mm-hmm. And it's right there, what you said, top of the list. Start healthy. Yep. Start the day on a positive note. Get a little exercise in the morning. See, Dobie, you're looking at me like we're talking
Latin
here.
I'm listening to you so I can do the right thing. Yeah. To me, the most exercise I get on Thanksgiving is opening the refrigerator because you get to the wherever you go, don't eat. There's going to be plenty of food. Don't eat. You get there at 11 in the morning, and 5:30 was when it's ready. I think that's the same thing. So I've eaten now 9 complete jars of pickles. I've got enough sodium to take every bit of saliva out of my head.
But it does give you that nice wrinkled look. It does.
Exactly.
We'll continue on with the listing here, because this is a great list. It's just what Donna's talking about here. Eat early. And actually it says here to eat a healthy breakfast first.
Yes.
Because that way you're not depriving
yourself.
You
eat breakfast on Thanksgiving?
Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to skip a meal. You want to plan them.
Wow. I stop about November 10th. I stop eating.
The whole point of it is you eat early. It carries you through the bulk of the day. Also, now here portion controls. Now Donna didn't bring this up, and I can't see this happening in my world. You should be able to carry your plate with one hand.
Does a wheelbarrow count with one hand?
Yeah, I was going to say. Yeah, that might work there. And then they're telling you to engage. The family is there. You might as well talk to them. No, you see, because that's when the alcohol kicks.
So who's got a will? Anybody? Oh, God. Okay, you get the gravy, Ed Petunia.
And since you don't talk with food in your mouth, I'm talking to the average person, Dobie. Mm-hmm. The automatic portion control is by talking. So
I have a suggestion, Don. I mean, I'm not making a joke as I usually do. What if you already have this, a picture of what a good meal would be, portion size of a Thanksgiving
dinner.
She
has that. I've been to her office. She's got a plate.
Yeah, portion control is huge. And
seriously.
That's nice. Yeah.
But pictures worth a thousand words.
But, like, you take a plate the size of a dinner, a salad plate, not the size of a
satellite dish.
Yeah. Right, not the size of a small pizza. It's like a salad plate.
Right.
And you section that into equal fourths.
Okay.
Half of the plate should be veggies. One quarter should be your starch, and one quarter should be your protein or meat.
So stuffing would be starch?
Stuffing would be.
Very.
And mashed potatoes would be starch?
Very.
Yes, it would be. So what I'm saying is if you get, like me, 3 carb choices or 45 grams, that's when you use the plate method, that's ideal for every day. Now, Thanksgiving, we know there's going to be lots of things to choose from. If we are restrictive with people, and obviously everybody has to make their own choices. If I tell you, okay, you can choose one of those, and it's only one of those that's going to go on the quarter of your plate, odds are you're going to go back and say, okay, she said this, but this is what I'm doing.
Right.
Yeah, there you go.
So, you know, I would prefer personally to see people make good, educated, well-informed choices for themselves. Know these are your limitations. This is what your body requires, and then make a good choice. Like say it's one day out of the year, you use portion controller, and if you're using that plate method in combination with knowing how many carbs you can have, like in my case, I can have 45 grams of carb. I might have a glass of milk, that's one carb choice, or 15 grams, and I can have half a cup of potatoes, half a cup of stuffing. Those are my two favorites. And so that's going to take up more than a quarter of my plate.
Sure.
And I'll probably do a quarter of my plate veggies that day. Mm-hmm. Not the end of the world.
Now this is
one day of the week.
This is the registered nurse who gives money away for Halloween.
This is what needs to be heard by the public, is why we have her here.
Or that the other way we can look at that is lunch. When I have my lunch meal, I can do my turkey, my one quarter of the plate. The other quarter is going to be my mashed potatoes. I'm going to do half a plate of salad. I'm going to do my glass of milk, and I'm going to do a very small piece of pie, pumpkin pie, that's worth 15 grams. Mm-hmm. So it's going to be an eighth of a piece, not a full-size piece. It's going to be a sliver. But that's okay. That's 45 grams. Now, but dinner, I can do my stuffing instead of the potatoes.
I gotta ask
it's about
you
choices.
talk to us regular people here. What are we doing here?
On Earth, yes.
I can't imagine what an eighth of a slice of anything looks like. I can't.
No, you take like a normal slice of pie and cut just it cut it in half. Okay, yeah, that's right. What I'm thinking more along the lines of. That's probably, I mean, I'd look at the package if it's homemade. That's how I would eyeball it. You could do it by weight if you want to get really technical, but most people aren't going to.
Okay, so then you have your lunch. And then what are you doing between lunch and dinner? Isn't your body...
You walk to Cleveland.
forget about that.
Well, that's why exercise comes first, because after you eat the turkey, you're going to be too tired to get up and go for your walk.
Seriously, that is
and
true.
And you utilize
that
the energy. So
now, do people? I've never heard of anyone having an incident on Thanksgiving. I'm sure it happens, or
oh,
Christmas.
Oh, huge, absolutely. The whole point of this story. Here's how they break it down. When it comes to the Thanksgiving or Christmas or actually anything
Easter,
where you're
whatever.
Gobbing your face with carbs, heart attack.
Tuesday.
It starts with the blood. The digestive system goes into the overdrive when you. Do the huge meal. All the blood goes to the stomach, leaving your heart, you know, a little lacking. So the gut has the blood, a lot more than normal. The heart has to work harder to get all the blood moving around. And then on top of it, stuff that you're eating, it's the sugar. Blood sugar, insulin levels go up. This spikes the increase the blood pressure. Decreases the normal relaxation of the coronary arteries. They relax sometimes. I had no idea. Also, then the fat in what you're eating. Fatty meals lead to the elevation of the triglycerides, fat, fancy word, in the blood. And they've had studies where you do your meal and literally they do the cholesterol count within the hour of that meal. It is elevated just off that meal that you just put through your pie hole, quite literally. And then, of course, the inflamed arteries with the fat in them, common precursor to the heart attack. And then finally, the magic of alcohol. It adds more calories to the day, makes us love or hate our relatives a little more. It can lead to an abnormal and dangerous heart rhythm, arrhythmia. Boom. That's it. Then all of a sudden, you're sitting there watching the Detroit Lions or the Dallas Cowboys, and you get this tingly feeling. Back when you're in love, when you're 16, similar, except your heart's shutting down. I'm sorry. We only have a couple minutes here. What do we do? What do we do? We have this idea that you're working on that works well on paper. Are you going for it this year? I mean,
well, I'm going to try. I have so many invitations to different places, though. So I'll stop in and cut a commando and get a little tiny plate.
Well, the key is spread it out.
Yeah.
You can have what you want on the holidays, but you want to spread it out. Don't get too much in one setting. That's really when you look at it from a broad perspective, you want to look at it and say, okay, I can't eat too much in one setting and pay attention to the carbs, pay attention to the fat. Fortunately, turkey, just skip the skin. It's a pretty lean meat.
So
if you
words,
do the white meat, it's going to be even leaner.
Skip the skin.
Yeah, I was going to say, so you leave the good-tasting parts of the turkey off to the side.
Yes.
You can lick
that's
a bone.
So and with the increased risk of heart attack and all of that, you know, really, when people overeat, your blood sugar, when blood sugar goes up, blood's getting thicker.
Literally,
it's
thicker.
Literally, yes, you can actually see it. And both of you have probably seen it at some point. Your finger,
exactly.
If your blood sugar's low, it looks more dilute.
It's like Jell-O.
If it's high, it's really nice and thick. And if those veins and vessels have plaque buildup and pressure's high.
Yeah. And there you go.
Pop goes the weasel.
Yes. Increased risk. Yeah.
And then this year you'll be talking, I'm sure, about, you know, things like about politics. That'll pump things up.
A little stress.
Nicely as well. Again, thank you for stopping by. You've been just a great guest for us all year long. We do appreciate it. You give us credibility.
Thanks for having me.
It's our one-year anniversary, so when we're dead, you'll be taking the show over. We'll bequeath it to you in our Troy 2.
Well, we get him back from Hollywood. I don't know. I think Hollywood Troy is going to be a whole different kind of guy that we've known around here. But we want to wish everybody the best of the holidays, and we do thank you so much.
Healthy holidays. We joke around about this. I'm gonna really listen to what Donna says this year.
Yeah,
if we have a second-year anniversary, then I'm going crazy. Stay tuned.
We're just in that kind of a situation.
I might have 46 grams of carbs. Who knows?
This whole year, I mean, we've we've shied away from the celebrity diabetics because we're more the blue collar diabetic show. Mm-hmm. We discussed having who's that guy from the Bears used to play quarterback? Jay Cutler. Yeah, he's not going to be coming on this show. He isn't. We've discussed it. I don't know. No.
Okay.
You sure?
I'm not sure about anything.
Okay. Because he's.
Let's just get through the holidays.
He's got nothing going on. We could just call him right now.
TheDiabeticShow.com. Maybe he'll come online with us.
Oh, I'm sure he will. Anyway, Troy, thank you so much for. You know how we feel about you. I mean, we're going to be parking your car someday, and that's what makes you important to us now. And again, thanks for listening to DiabeticShow.com.